Hello, Team Church Tribe. Welcome back to the Team Church Podcast with Kevin Gerald. My name is Brandon Stewart, and we are so excited today to welcome you to our final episode for 2021. Of course, we've created this space to have the conversations that every team needs to be having, and today we believe it'll do just that. And our goal is for today's episode to set up a conversation that you can finish with your team, especially here as we end this season, this year, and we head into a new year. And as we continue to lead in uncertain and unique times, our prayer is that this can fuel you and your team. So welcome today. So glad you're here. Today, we are so excited to welcome Stephen Chandler to the Team Church Podcast. Pastor Kevin sat down with him recently, and they had a conversation that I believe is really going to help you to see the opportunity of this season and really encourage you in your journey to lead with conviction and courage in this season. So I pray this will be a help and a blessing to you and your team. So without further ado, let's head into our conversation today with Stephen Chandler.
Hello, everyone. Welcome. We're so glad you're here with us at Team Church Podcast. I have a special guest. I'm so excited today to welcome Stephen Chandler.
Come on now.
Welcome, Stephen. So glad you're here. Hey, I'll say a little bit about you, but I almost prefer that you fill in the blanks so that people really know who you are. You're the pastor of Union Church in the Baltimore area.
Baltimore, D.C. area, yep. I'm kind of spread between Maryland and D.C.
How far is Baltimore from D.C.?
So it's about a 45-minute drive if you drive like me, and I drive like Jehu. Where our campus is, it's 25 minutes north to Baltimore and 35 minutes south to D.C.
Okay.
So we're smack dab right in the middle.
Okay.
Yeah.
And one wife.
One wife.
Three children.
You can't get that one wrong.
Exactly. Keep
New
it
Testament.
Straight. And you guys have been pastoring how long?
11 years.
Okay.
11 years. So that verse is not a funny verse, but you know when Jacob is in front of Pharaoh, he said, long and evil have been my days, not the days of my father. But it's been, God's blessed us, and I got a lot of gray hair to prove it. So
yeah, God has blessed you. You guys are doing great. So today I want to, let's just begin with some conversation having to do with pastoring during the pandemic. Mm. And the pandemic, as we all know, was a huge challenge for leaders, churches, pastors all across the world. But you guys, there was something unique about you guys in that right in the middle of the pandemic, you merged two churches together and also were like in the prep mode and at least getting ready. I'm not sure if you already started your fourth campus.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So like you were in a forward march mode in the pandemic. So why do you think it's important for us to be that? Why were you that way? Why are you that way? Be aggressive in the season we're in.
Well, my wife keeps on asking me, why am I that way? And I don't have a good answer for her. But I think for me, I'm just naturally a challenger. And as just the whole world started to shut down, everybody ran to their house. And I kind of just sensed a little bit of I'm going to take a 6-month vacation from life and I'm just going to check out since the world is shutting down. And there's something inside of me that just like, I'm going to challenge that. This is not a vacation. This is an opportunity.
Mm.
And I just think that God is attracted to faith.
Mm.
I think, you know, throughout scripture, it says he marveled at this person's faith. He said, man, we're going to talk about their faith for the rest of history. And I think you can attract the favor of God with your faith. So my thought is nothing visible says that this is a season of progress. So let's push for progress. Let's go after it and see what God
true.
Will do.
So true. And yet, you know, I hear pastors right now as we start to get up into the grill of this, I can hear pastors saying, well, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Like I have tried this, I've tried that. They may even be discouraged right now today having to do with the numbers in church, people not coming back to church, some of the strife it's created and division within the church.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk some real stuff on that. When you're talking about having faith, how do you, in the middle of that situation, how do you actually apply that faith in those kind of areas that we're talking
about? So here's what happened with us. Everything shuts down. March 15th, we all think we're going to be open by Easter and, you know, we'll be back to normal. And then you go through the normal. I think every pastor in America and the world, Easter Sunday is when it got real. It's yeah, like, really, oh yeah. My gosh, this is for real, for real. Yeah. This is not going to be a 3 or 4 week instance. And I think when it got there, I started to think 4 or 5 months down the road. And I began to think, we were just in a season of just exponential growth. We had doubled over the last 2 years in a row. And anybody who's experienced crazy growth, you know, it's great growth and it's great pain because all of your systems are broken and you're trying to, you know, figure things out.
Yeah.
So it was a little bit like, okay, this is halftime of a football game. It's a little bit of a pause. Let's restructure our systems. But let's not restructure them for where we are. Let's restructure them for where we want to be. So I started telling our team, every system that you correct and you create, create it for double our size.
So good.
Don't create it for where we are right now, but create it for where we want to be. And I don't want to sound like super spiritual or anything like that, but it really was 100% faith. Like, we didn't have any strategy of growing the church. We didn't have any, you know, everybody's going to come back next week. There was none of that. This was just my mindset. I'm like, let me see if I could tempt God into a miracle. Let me see if I can just put our church in a position that made God say, I want to bless that. Wow. I want to breathe on that. And so from about April to about September, we just started restructuring. We went on a hiring binge while everybody was on a hiring freeze. Yep. And we say, we're not going to hire anybody. I said, no, we're going to hire people for where we want to go, not where we are right now. And talk a little bit about how we prepared for that and all that. But we were staffing and structuring for a church that did not exist.
And you were not open, right? I mean, your services online. Were closed.
We were online up until July.
And offices as well? Like you...
Yeah, we went back to the office, if I'm not mistaken, probably like end of June, early July.
Okay.
So we were out of office for about 3 months or so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, which was interesting.
Interesting, yeah. So when you're talking about this whole dynamic of you feeling this, like, I want to have faith. We're going to charge hell with a water gun, you know, whatever. I don't know. I don't have a lot of strategy, you know, at work. Let me ask you, is there a process like that? I know you didn't have a lot of strategy, but is there some things you can talk to that person out there, that pastor who's wanting to make a leap of faith? But is there a way to make it safe and predictable as possible?
Absolutely. There is a difference, as we know, between faith and presumption. Presumption is, I'm just going to jump out and take a risk and hope that God catches me.
Yep.
Faith is, I have a word from God. I have direction from God. But I also have wisdom. And wisdom and faith are not enemies. They are married. They're co-partners. Mm. So for us, prior to this season, we had gone through a season of a lot of saying no and a lot of stewardship. So we were able to build up a war chest. We had a large amount of savings going in. So as we were hiring people, we were hiring them knowing that even, let's say, our income takes a dip or this pandemic lasts longer than we think it is, we had reserves that we can cover people's salary, that we weren't going to be in trouble of having to release people or losing buildings or anything like that. We had taken the time to make sure that our culture was right, that we were discipling leaders, that we liked what we were building. I'll say it this way. We were doing the boring stuff of making sure that the foundation was strong.
Good.
And I think when you have built a strong foundation, you can take a leap of faith with comfort and safety because you know if it doesn't work out, we're not going to be devastated.
Mm-hmm.
You hear the phrase, bet the farm. We more like bet the field.
Yeah.
We're not going to bet the farm because we bet the farm and lose it. We got a problem. I got to talk to grandpa about I lost his farm. But I can bet a field that if I lose it, if it doesn't work out or whatever it may be, it's not going to completely hamstring the entire ministry. So it was one of those things where we're like, okay, we're going to take a risk, but we fully thought through this risk not working out and it doesn't bring this move of God to an end.
And the book I wrote, funny, I wrote Naked and Unafraid, mm-hmm. and we released it in February.
Yeah.
If you can imagine. Oh. Everything hits in March. Oh, so all of the travel with the new book of the excitement around the new book, and then pandemic hits. But actually, for me personally, and I think even, you know, for others, and the book did well in 2020 because of the timing of it. But there's a phrase that I really got into, and I want to hear you talk a little bit about it if you would. But it's dangerous to play it safe.
Mm, yeah.
It's dangerous to play it safe. Yeah. Like that got, I think that helps. What is the danger? Like, can you talk about some of what happens if you play it safe?
Yeah. Well, the thought that comes to my mind is atrophy. Any muscle that you don't use, it does not stay the same. It decreases. And I think faith, not even on the spiritual side, I think leadership acumen, I think your communication skills, I think all the gifting and charisma that we have, it decreases if we don't use it.
Mm.
And I think playing it safe, it's predictable. Sometimes people like predictability. They like to be able to know what tomorrow is going to look like and all that. But the thought doesn't cross our minds. Here's what the Bible says. Even that which you think you have will be taken from you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is applies to everything that we have, that if we don't use it, if we're not constantly being a good steward, which means maximizing its potential, we're going to end up losing that which we have.
Whoa.
And I think faith is one of those things. I think gifting is one of those things that if you plateau, if you settle, if you get to a place where you say, this is good enough, you're going to end up losing that which you have.
Yeah. There's something about like the apathy and the lethargy and that whole thing in that season that actually is dangerous. But another thing I'd like you to talk about is how did your team look at you when you started being this big bold lion? how did they respond to you?
They responded well, just in case they're watching this.
I love them all.
You know, this is gonna get out somewhere. Yeah. They responded well eventually.
Yeah.
It took them about 6 to 8 weeks.
Good answer.
To realize, oh my gosh, he's not joking. Now, they're used to me.
Yeah.
I am a take the hill type of leader. If we're resting, it's because we're preparing for the next charge, and they're used to that and all that other kind of stuff.
Yep.
But we had some people that were newer on staff. We had some people that, because of what was going on in our country and the political climate and all that other kind of stuff, they wanted us to redirect the attention of our church and the vision of our church and all that other good stuff. So I think it took them a little bit to say, okay, he's not joking. We are going to prepare for the future as if it's tomorrow and be ready for whatever God has in store for us. But I could not be more proud of them, because they eventually got up under the vision and they said, hey, we're going to take foods of people that are locked in. You know, every church turned into a 100% outreach center, and we're meeting the needs of our community and all that. But in the midst of that, we're going to be thinking about the future and preparing for what we really believe that God is getting ready to do. We had transition like everybody else did.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we had staff members that are like, man, I feel like God's called me to do something else. And I'm like, you know, God bless you. Godspeed. But we also had people that joined our team in that season, and they were excited that they were in an environment that was moving forward, even though there wasn't a lot moving forward in the country at the time.
So that's what I wanted to ask you about with your team.
Yeah.
What you explained to me is what we saw as well. In the early stages of beginning to say, we're moving forward, we're doing this, we're doing that, there is a bit of a paralysis of analysis that hits your team. Am I right about that?
Yep,
like they're looking at you like almost afraid to make too many moves in this moment.
Yeah.
You're also, to give everyone credit, I mean, for the paralysis, you're also where everything is so unpredictable that you have to make like short-term moves,
absolutely,
I would call it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And not be banking on things being the same.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I love something that you said about the change part. this morning when you were talking to our staff. Do you remember what I referred
with,
to?
You're talking about Amazon Bezos and all that?
Yes.
Can you
share that?
So I was reading an article about Jeff Bezos, and he said, you know, obviously there's a lot of companies that made millions off of selling on Amazon. So I get a lot of people that come to me asking me, hey, what's going to change about the future? Because I want to create a product that's positioned to capitalize on change. You know, what our car is going to be 100% electric or, you know, whatever it may be.
Right.
And Bezos said, they're asking the wrong question. You shouldn't be asking what's going to change because you can't build a company on change. It's too unpredictable. What they should be asking is what's not going to change, what's going to stay the same.
Wow.
Because if something's going to stay the same, you can anchor a company on that. You can anchor the future on what will not change. And I think even in the ministry world, that really came up where... Oh, I'm going to get in trouble. That's what I always do. Where everybody's like, okay, so we're going to be 100% online. And I don't know if you went through this, but we wanted to do a Instagram Live every single week. And we're like all creating content, content and all that other good stuff, which I think there was a time and there was a season for that as we're trying to stay as connected with people as we possibly could.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a season to go back to, hold on, what's the vision of this house? What, and we always say the vision is non-negotiable. The strategy will always change.
Mm-hmm.
So we're always thinking of better ways to accomplish the vision. But what are we anchored on?
Mm-hmm.
And the things that we've decided God's called us to do and we're anchored on, those are non-negotiable. And not a pandemic is not going to change it. Not everybody being online until Jesus comes back and never leaving their house is going to change it.
Yep,
like this is who we are.
Yep.
And it's a time to double down
mm-hmm.
on what you say the vision that God's given you is, instead of just throw it out and try to come up with something brand new.
I love that. I love that quote because it acknowledges that change is going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's not in denial
mm-hmm.
that change is happening.
Yeah.
But it's just saying, like, focus on what will not change.
Yeah.
What will be the same, build on that.
Yeah.
And it gives you then permission to move forward rather than bothered by, well, things are going to change. Da, 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 da.
Yeah.
True. But what won't change? Let's go. So I feel like and I wanted to say that, and I want to get back.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get back to the point I was going to make is when that starts happening in a group, in a team, and everybody starts like getting frozen in the moment, you then start to lead out of that. Did you experience a groundswell of support? You mentioned people came.
Mm-hmm.
Were people actually attracted to the idea that you were moving forward?
Yeah.
And you were proclaiming that we're actually going to like not sit back and fold our hands. We're mm-hmm. actually going to move forward with passion. Did you find that there were people on your team that came alive? Did you find there were people in your church that mm-hmm. were drawn back?
Yeah.
What did you get back?
So absolutely to different degrees. Every team, every church, you have different levels of commitment. You have your core, and then you have your attendee and your contributor and the community and all that other good stuff. So based on the level of commitment was, you know, different degrees of buy-in. And we absolutely were sensitive to the time that we were in, the season that we were in. And there was definitely, as with every church, everybody's like, yep, I'm with you heart and soul, long as you don't make me come out of my house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There was that season. Yeah. And then there's like, yeah, I'm with you heart and soul, but I'm wearing my mask and you can't stop me. And I'm like, go for it. Wear your mask. Just love Jesus. And, you know, so there was those aspects.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that there was just a rally behind the fact that my church is engaging this season, is leaning in, is believing God, and is not just going to play it safe.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was indicated in our giving. It was indicated in our online attendance and people connecting and all that type of community. We had online groups that were, I mean, just almost more effective than in-person groups. And we got to figure that out and all that other good stuff. And then what we found is when we did open back up for in-person gathering, and I'm not going to try to pretend like we're at 100%. Oh, we figured this out.
Right.
No, I don't know if anybody else is. We're not.
Yep.
But we saw an influx of so many new people that were not a part of the church before we shut down, but we're like, man, I heard about this vision, heard about what God is doing here. Somebody told me, sent me a link or whatever it may be, and I couldn't wait for the doors open because I had to see it for myself. Mm. So I think that people jumped on board. And what I did was I have different levels of expectation based on where people sit on the bus. So if you're on staff, if you're in the core, I'm going to have the highest level expectation. I'm looking for the highest level of buy-in all the way down to just our attendees. So I was careful not to push the different levels Good. Of commitment for a commitment that they never said they wanted to make.
Good.
But if you work here, you feel like God's right. called you to build this house?
Right.
Hey, we're 100% in and we're going after it with all we have.
That's so good. Yeah. So good. Do you feel like right now that where we're sitting right now, there's some people that are in a time where they're renegotiating their reality and that do you feel like that it's good to let go of trying to get back to where you were?
Yeah.
Like is there something that can, if a pastor's watching right now, mm-hmm. whose whole idea is, you know, I used to have 700 in church.
Yeah.
Now I got 150 attending and got some online and mm-hmm. and he's thinking I'm not back until I get to 170. What do you say to that guy?
So I think there's a few different aspects. I was watching a podcast one time and they were just talking about the stages of grief. And I'm watching this, I'm like, this got nothing to do with me. You know, I don't have a loved one that's passed away, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
And then they were talking about the level of loss that we've all experienced in 2020, whether it was just a loss of plans or the delay of the trajectory that we were on and all that other good stuff. And they said, you know, if you don't acknowledge that it was a loss and go through the stages of grief, you are not going to be able to move forward and see the fresh vision that's in front of you. Mm. So I think it does require a pause of, man, I'm disappointed. Like, that did not go the way that I wanted. Yeah. My church maybe didn't respond. My staff didn't respond or whatever it may be.
Yep.
And man, that really hit me to the core. And I need to take a moment, surrender that to Jesus, allow him to heal me, and then get ready, as David said, to encourage myself in the Lord and to take off running.
Mm-hmm.
I think for some people, the scoreboard has changed a little bit where maybe we're not going to count what we used to count, and what we used to call the definition of success may be a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
Not different to the level where we're outside of scripture.
I mean, right.
I think really the finish line is always making disciples. Like, are we making followers of Christ as Good. The kingdom of God and as the church? But
Good.
What that looks like may change. Now, I would caution any pastor, and I say that humbly, not like I got it all figured out. Let me tell y'all what to do. But our goal is to give vision to our people that makes them want to run. Habakkuk 2:2, it says, give them vision. Running is not just out of urgency. It's out of excitement.
Yep.
It's like, I love this. I'm excited about this. I got to tell everybody. Nobody is excited about getting back to zero, getting back to scratch, getting back to March 15th, 2020. There is nothing exciting about restoring what was lost.
Very
excitement
good.
Only comes on what's coming. What is the future? What are we building? So I would really encourage pastors. Yeah, we know what our numbers were pre-pandemic, and we're hoping that we'll get back there, whether it's attendance, giving, small groups, whatever it may be. But I would challenge a pastor to, even if it is 5% growth over what was in 2019, start talking about what the future looks like and where you're going, and not necessarily what we're trying to get back.
So is it like the deck got reshuffled? You got a whole new hand right now? Is that
Absolutely.
A way to look at
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. I just the way I'm looking at my church, I think there's going to be some people that they never come back to physical attendance. I know for a fact that a good number of our people are in DC. It's transient. We have military. A lot of them moved to other states, and like, they're not coming back. They're gone.
Yep.
And I think there's other people that they're just not going to come back to physical. But I think there's going to be brand new people that take their physical space or whatever it may be. And I think brand new is going to be more than is what walked away. So we may not replace what was lost person for person, last name for last name.
Yep.
But I do know that the kingdom of God is going to move forward, and that we're not going to spend the next 10 years of our life trying to grab Humpty Dumpty and put them back together again and all that stuff.
And we have to be careful as well, because there's been a lot of talk, podcasts or whatever, that have focused on, you know, things will never be the same again.
Yeah.
Pastors, you know, alerting pastors and predicting things that haven't been real positive over the churches. And I think a lot of pastors, at least for me, I had to turn that stuff off.
Yeah.
And not listen to that anymore. So maybe somebody watching us today, hearing us today, has just been too inundated with, you know, with that prediction over their life.
Yeah.
And rather than, the reason I like the card shuffle thing is because I feel like if you're in a card game where you're literally having to do that repeatedly, you know in your mind, like, I can't go, I don't have that hand I had before.
Yeah.
But I have something in front of me, I'm gonna play this hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's something about that God honors
in
this process, where you are not just trying to get that other hand back. This is your hand.
Yeah.
Now let's deal with what we have right now.
Yeah.
And let's deal with a hand that, and you mentioned percentages and all of that. Different parts of the country are dealing with different. And a lot of our churches that would be watching or listening are in Canada.
Okay.
So that's a whole different ball game up there. And in my conversations with our Canadian brothers and pastors and friends, they're dealing with things that a lot of guys, especially in southern states of the U.S., are not dealing with.
Yeah.
So in case someone's listening, watching today who, you know, you might be in South Texas and you might go, aren't we through this?
Is this still going on? I don't know.
Like, yes, indeed. Listen. It is. It's still going on.
Yeah, yeah.
And but I do think that what if you're back in terms of your church, and I have some friends who are saying, man, our attendance percentages are probably 90%+ of what they were before. But everyone does say this, they're different people.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's been a change.
It's been a shift.
So your challenge may not just be attendance, it could be discipleship.
Yeah.
It could be building teams again.
Yeah. And you know, I think two thoughts cross my mind. First, I'm going to play with the analogy of the card deck, right?
Yep.
And you think about a really good card player, they're not worried about their hand because they trust their own ability. And I think that's really what we need to be anchored in this moment.
Good.
We are not opportunists. We're leaders.
Yep.
God's gifted us. He's called us. He's anointed us. And whatever card we're dealt, God is still going to be able to do great things through us. So I think there needs to be an anchoring in. He started this
work. Talk about that for a minute, like trusting your ability. Because I would like to get inside of the mind or the heart of the leader that might be a little bit faint right now, might be a little bit weary right now.
Yeah.
What can we say, what would you say to a leader like that who is in that season?
Uh-oh.
How do you get your mojo back? Like, how do you get that spice, that swag, that whatever you want to call it? Like,
you're going to get me in trouble. You know me, I'm super direct, super blunt. My first question is, did you have the mojo? What did 2019 look like? What did January, February of 2020 look like? Were people responding well to your vision, to your communication, to your leadership, and all that other good stuff?
Before we went.
Before.
Good point.
If you didn't have great momentum before, then I'm evaluating. You got to be honest. I was doing something wrong.
Good.
I got to figure out, what was I doing wrong?
Good.
Was my vision too loose and not detailed enough so that people couldn't run with it? Was my communication skillful but not relevant? I was answering questions that nobody was asking. Like, I need to do, I call it an autopsy. I need to take it apart and figure out what was working, what was not working, and why wasn't it working?
Wow.
And after I figured that out, and let's say I didn't have the mojo, I was running, it was great, all that kind of stuff, then you need to look at not what you were doing, but why you were doing it. What's the principle that made that communication work? Let's just talk preaching for a second, because we were talking about that. Man, people were responding to the messages, they were getting saved, they were taking next steps and all that. Chances are, It was because you were answering questions that people were asking in their heart, that you were giving them a solution to their hopelessness or whatever it may be. So now I say, okay, I'm not going to preach the same message series, but I'm going to begin to ask, okay, what are the questions people are asking today? What are the questions that they may not be asking verbally because they don't know to, but there's a cry in their heart of, man, I got to figure out a solution to that. And I need to speak to that. And I need to be bold. I need to be biblical. I need to be, you know, use my charisma and all that other good stuff. And I think it really just goes back to find out the principle of what had the momentum before and then adapt it for where your congregation and your city is today.
Wow. So if you're that guy.
Yeah.
Or that gal, who is sitting in a scenario where they would say, okay, I didn't really have the mojo before.
Yeah.
You got me there, Pastor Stephen. What would you say now looks like? What does today, I want to take one more step forward on that. Uh-huh. What does today look like if you acknowledge that? Yeah. Now what?
Yeah. So first of all, if you're that guy or you're that girl, man, I'm excited because that was me for so long. I talked about it earlier.
Yep.
Took over a church of 50 people, grew it to 70 people, and thought that was about all I've got in me. This isn't working out. And I mean, there was no exponential growth. There was no revival. You know, he said it added to his number daily. Well, he added to our number one. That's all he added. And I had to learn how to get the mojo. I had to learn how to grow. And what I learned was nothing new is under the sun. There's somebody out there that has the solution to my problem. I just have to find them and then find the principles that they're applying.
Wow.
So I would get on board with Team Church. I would learn from Champion Center. I would learn from some of these phenomenal churches that have momentum. We can learn literally from every field of influence. It doesn't have to be church. It could be business, sports, whatever it may be. Where do I see momentum? And not what are they doing? Because practices may not fit in different regions.
Yep.
I may not be able to go to the South and apply what they're applying in Canada for momentum or whatever it may be.
Right.
But principles are universal.
Yep.
So what's the principle that you're using? And there may be five different principles that I pick up. Well, I need to pick one. This is the most important one. And I'm going to apply it and I'm going to work it until I see traction.
Good.
And then after I see traction, I'm going to go on to the second and the third and all that. Here's what we found at Union Church. Whenever we were looking to make a major shift in culture or even in structure, it took maybe 4 to 6 weeks to reveal it, to let everybody know, here's a new culture, here's a new structure, whatever. It took 8 to 12 months for it to be ingrained in our DNA.
Yes.
Like you can declare something fast.
Yes.
But it takes longevity and focus and restructuring and going back at it. That didn't work. Let's readjust to actually have it ingrained in your culture. Mm. And I think sometimes people give up on whatever change they're looking to make too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually was unrealistic expectations.
Good.
If you're a midweek service church and you're trying to switch to small groups, that's not going to shift in 6 weeks.
Right.
It may not shift in 6 months.
Right.
That doesn't mean it's not going to work.
Right.
It just means you have to, you know, let people know, no, we're not Repetition. Backing off of this.
Yep.
This is what we're going to be. And I'm going to teach you why it's important, why we need it and all that other good stuff.
Yep.
But this will come to pass.
One of the things I talked about in our Team Church conference sessions that many might remember is I talked about how the opportunity that we have right now and that at Champion Center, we went back and we got really honest, like you said, like gut level honest. Yeah. And I would say pre-COVID, we had inflated data, inflated. Like it wasn't our reality.
Yeah.
It was what someone had not purged.
Uh-huh.
So they still had 110 people on the team.
Yeah.
And they actually pre-COVID even only had 74 or whatever it might be. And then COVID hits and you shrink from there.
Yeah.
Especially the active ones.
Yeah.
So we literally took the opportunity to get so honest and it's laborious, but that's something that you could do today.
Yeah.
Is get honest enough to go back to the data. Yeah. and find your church. Like, find the person that is active in your church. We had three ways we measured it. I won't get into it right now. You can go watch it at Team Church. But we measure that.
Yeah.
And then as we, after we measure that, we get honest about what does our team look like right now?
Yeah.
Because we believe that volunteers are a part of the growth process.
Mm-hmm.
So as you grow the team, you grow the church.
Yeah.
So by getting back to focusing on what's our team, who's really committed, who can I count on to be here next week, who's not, you know, who's ready to be back and they want to serve, get that started. And then the last part of that was, I would guarantee you, if you've been back in services very long, that all of you have had people visiting your church.
Absolutely.
Like, they've either been peeking in through the online or they have been walking in to the on-site. Think about the people that are new. Think about the people that God's bringing, God is drawing, God is leading to your church, right?
Yeah.
And then as he leads those people in, if you get your eyes for that, you start treating it like a... Like, for us, it's like going back to when we were a smaller church in terms of the passion of the newbie.
Yeah.
The newbies are getting more attention now than they've ever got before. Growth Track is being promoted now more than ever before.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it's just a great season of opportunity for us to use what's happened to make sure we're not stuck in playing it safe, be daring enough to get out there and give it a go, right?
Yeah.
What if a pastor says, I personally, and this is a little bit redundant, but I want to see if we can cover this. I personally am not as healthy as I want to be.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you guys. Pastor Steven, that's great. Yeah. Pastor Kevin, great. It's great. But me, I don't feel that faith right now that you guys are talking about.
Yeah. So I hit that. Absolutely. And I think, you know, 2020, world shuts down, racial tension, all that other good stuff. Every pastor is in a position where they're just responding. They're like, I've got to pastor my church through this, cover them, lead them, all that other good stuff. So about June, July, I hit a wall of exhaustion where...
This year?
Last year, 2020.
Okay.
Where for the first time in my life, I had thoughts of, I don't know if I want to do this forever. I don't know if I enjoy this anymore. I don't know if I you know what I mean? You're looking for a way out, kind of. And what I realized, here's what also happened. This was about 3 or 4 months into the pandemic. So everything that I thought was going to happen to our finances did not. In terms of, oh, we're going under, it's going to be bad.
Yep.
And everything that I thought was going to go bad didn't. And I think for the first time, I got anchored in my soul that this is his church and he's building it.
Mm.
He's using me, but it's not all on me.
Wow.
So I can rest. I can step back. I can breathe. I can recreate energy for myself.
Mm.
I think about Elijah. He calls fire down from heaven and then he goes on. He's like, okay, I'm ready to die. This is the worst. God, take me, all that other good stuff. And it says the angel comes and he says, wake, eat, and be refreshed. He didn't say, get up and start praying again, Elijah. He didn't say, Elijah, where's your faith? He didn't say, trust God more. He said, you need to eat. You need to breathe. You need to rest.
Good.
You need to take care of your physical temple before you can even think about the spiritual thing. So that pastor's like, man, my faith is struggling right now. I'm discouraged. My question is, man, when's the last time you've taken a vacation?
Good.
Come on. When's the last time you played with your kids? When's the last time you played some golf? When's
last time you went fishing?
You went fishing. You just laughed. Yeah. You just... went out in nature. You need to rest. You need to breathe.
Good.
You need to recover. You need to recreate your energy.
Yep.
And I'm telling you, the presence and the power of God is in you.
Good.
And as you start to get your energy back, faith is going to be stirred. A hunger for his word, a hunger for his presence, a hunger for fresh vision. He will revive you. But you're not very spiritual when you're exhausted.
Right.
I think I'd go the non-faith route and go the, you need to check your pace and how you're stewarding your
personal really good. Energy. It's really good. We really need to be reminded sometimes when we're feeling the discouragement, we're feeling the sense of loss of everything that you've got. that you're the most important thing. Like yeah, your health is vital to the future.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so getting you back, you healthy. And sometimes that's just the power of distraction.
Mm-hmm.
Get totally out of what you're in. Do something fun.
Yeah.
Hang out, vacation, do something you love to do. And get your, you know, get your mind back in a way where you can begin to function from a healthy perspective.
Yeah,
yeah. I want to also just say to any staff that might be a part of this session today that surrounding one another with confidence and courage is extremely important.
Yeah.
Speak faith. Like you're not too spiritually mature to hear the simplistic nature of this, in that you need to be aware of what is going on in your mind and out of your mouth.
Yeah, yeah.
And we need an atmosphere right now, a dynamic atmosphere where we've all acknowledged what's going on.
Yeah.
Let's get past that now and let's speak faith about the future, that the best days are ahead for the church.
Yeah. Yeah.
And is there any way, before I exit this whole thing, is there any way that you could say that in a practical, can you break that down, that statement? Why would the best days be ahead for the church?
Oh, you know I'm ignorant. Because Jesus didn't come back yet.
I put you on the spot, didn't I?
And his word says we're going from glory to glory to glory to glory. He didn't say it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And sometimes we mix up Revelation, man. As the days come to an end, people are going to become more evil. He wasn't talking about the church.
Right.
He was talking about the world. The
right.
church is going to be a beautiful, spotless bride that is ready for her bridegroom. I know that our best days are ahead of us because God is not done with us.
Amen.
He's still building his house. He's still building his church. There's still oxygen in our bodies, which means there's still more that he has for us. And I think this may be a season where we need to close our eyes, stop looking around at what we see, and start declaring what we know.
So good.
What he anchored us in when we first answered the call to ministry, when
first
got into this to change the world.
Yep.
And remember, the same God who called me back then, he is faithful and he will do it.
Amen.
I think we might be shaken. Maybe because our faith wasn't in God's promises over our lives as much as they needed to be.
Yep.
And now that we don't have a lot of physical evidence to prove what God said about us, it's taken us back to, are you really going to believe what he said?
Great.
He's going to use you to shift your city. He's going to use you to rebuild families. He's going to use you to transform a region. And just declare it like you've lost your mind.
So I threw that question to you because you and I were actually talking about this last night. And I felt like I walked away from that conversation with a mindset from that, what we discussed, a mindset that said, yeah, the world actually is in more pain than it's been in. The world is actually in more confusion than it's been in. The world is actually darker than it's been.
Yeah.
So why would I, like, right now not realize that this is the perfect setting for clarity to come to the world, for peace to come in the storm.
Yeah.
Like all the things that represent Jesus, all the things that Jesus and the message of the gospel brings.
Yeah.
It's like this table has been set right now, you know, for us to be who we are and do what we do. And we don't function on, you know, the weapons we fight with, they're not carnal.
Yeah.
Paul said, so they are mighty through God. To the pulling down of strongholds. And I have this vision for me that I felt like God gave me. And that is like, Kevin, you can swing like a wild man and have rage at what's going on in the world around you and anger about all the stuff you don't like. And that's only going to get you so far.
Mm-hmm.
Like that brute fight, punch away could be really careless and exhausting. Yeah. But if you'll enter this fight with strategy, if you'll enter this fight with confidence and pivot well, dance in the fight. The fighter can be bigger than you. They can even be stronger than you. But if you'll fight with finesse, if you'll let me guide you, back to what we talked about, wisdom and faith.
Yeah, yeah.
So I would just say that for some pastors out there today, like we got to take the fight to the enemy here, mm-hmm. but let's be smart.
Yeah.
Let's be wise. Let's learn, like you said, from other pastors, other churches. What is God saying to us right now, today? And then let's have that pivoting. Well, we used to do that. We don't need to do that no more.
Yeah.
That wasn't working. And why do it again? Why keep repeating it? Pivot in this moment and let's keep on realizing that it's not always about the size of the world. It's about the size of our God.
Yeah, yeah.
It's about what God can do and the bigness of God in this moment. So
two thoughts come to my mind as you were talking. The first was the woman with the issue of blood who was bleeding for 12 years. It says that she went and looked for a solution everywhere else and only got worse.
Yep.
And after getting worse, trying to find solutions everywhere, she came to find Jesus. She came looking for him and good. She took hold of him. He did not take hold of her. So this whole, you know, people are moving away from the church and people don't, you know, want church. Yep. And all they're doing is trying to find healing for their sickness in other places. And we know what the word says. They're just going to get worse.
Yep.
And it may be 12 years, hopefully not, but there's going to be a moment when they're going to come looking for Jesus.
Yeah.
And it's our job just to make sure that we're not invisible or silent, but that our cities know this is where you find hope. This
love
is where
that.
You find healing. This is where you find what you've been looking for.
Love
and they
that.
Will come rushing back. The other thought that crossed my mind, and I do want to clarify this, that as we were preparing for a miracle and structuring for where we wanted to be, we didn't just jump out and make some reckless decision.
Yep.
We were just believing that God was going to do it. And when he showed us the right step, we were going to take that step. But it was
good.
All the way the finesse and the intentionality
good.
That you were talking about. And then, so all that, we restructure, we pray. We don't know what's coming.
Yep.
And then in October, I sit down with one of my best friends in the same city that we're in, and he starts sharing his heart. And I'm like, man, what would it look like to bring these two churches together and to make them one church?
Yep.
And from that first conversation, there was such a peace about it. And it was like, this is God.
Yep.
This is what we've been preparing for. This is what we're talking about. So as I'm saying, speak in faith, take a risk and all that, I'm not saying go out and do something crazy.
Right, right.
What I'm saying is prepare
right.
for what you're believing that God is going to do
yes.
and then wait for him
build
to
build the spirit
hope.
Of faith
exactly.
in your own self and in the people around you. Have mm-hmm. faith.
Yeah.
Like and I get that. I'm glad you brought us back to that because that is so important. Prepare for a fight.
Yeah.
Even though you may not have the strategy yet.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
It's like, you know, if you're going to play in the NFL football,
mm-hmm.
you prepare yourself physically.
Yep.
You prepare yourself mentally. You practice, you work hard to be a winner,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
But then you have to sit down before you face, you know, if you're on a team, you got to look.
Who are we playing this weekend?
Who are we going to play this weekend?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we got to watch and know what they're doing. So you got to a point where then it's in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting close to game time. And bam, you were ready.
Yeah.
When it came to you and the opportunity was there, you were ready to create the strategy
yeah, yeah.
that you needed to win that fight or those fights you're in. But good point, like get the faith built up.
Yeah, yeah.
Have confidence. I love and we'll close with this the word of God to Joshua: be strong and of good courage and do not be afraid and do not be dismayed.
Yeah,
the Lord your God is with you wherever you go, wherever in the pandemic, in the crazy world view, the Lord your God is with you. Thank
Amen.
You, Stephen. So good to have you
Thank
today.
Thank you. My honor.
Well, hey, however you're listening to this today, watching this today, why don't you hit the subscribe button? It would be our honor and privilege to join you next year in your leadership journey with your team in hopes that our teams can be healthier and stronger as we build God's church together. Hey, this is us signing off from our episodes here for 2021. We will see you next year, the first Tuesday of the month, for another great conversation that every team needs to be having. Until next time, Team Church, we love you. We're praying for you. God bless you.